Do you know Jesus is present with us today?
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is present.
Amen.
Jesus is present. The Reviver is here.
Yes.
The Reviver is in the house.
Yes,
can I have an amen there?
Amen.
The Reviver is in the house.
Yes,
amen. Jesus is in the house. I can say it this way, the Reviver is in the house. If you're born again, the Reviver is in the house. You may not know He's there, but if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Reviver is in the house.
Amen.
Amen. He came in. He lives and abides with us.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
He lives and abides with us. If you're hurting, if you're lonely, if you're rejected, no matter where you are, no matter what circumstances you're going through, the Reviver is in the house. And if He's not in the house, it's easy to fix that.
Yes,
you can do that in just a moment by asking Jesus as your Lord and Savior to come into your house.
Yes.
You can ask Him to take care of the hurts and the loneliness and the worries and the fears.
Amen.
Join me as we do that. Father, I humbly bow myself before You today as both Your Son and Your servant. I ask You, Father, to open the eyes and ears of our understanding today as we hear Your voice, as we humbly come before Your throne with our hearts bowed before You, sir. We ask You, Father, to open the eyes of our understanding, to quicken our understanding of Your word, to enlighten us, Father, not only today, but in the days to come. Father, we need revelation knowledge of Your word. We need revelation knowledge of who You are, of Your heart, of Your reasons why You did all of this, because we have a place in Your heart. So, Father, as Your children and sons and daughters, who choose to serve, we come as Your servants to hear Your voice and to say, yes, sir. Say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome in our hearts today. Thank You for the voiced word today. And thank You, Father, for the healing, signs, wonders, and miracles that will follow the working and the ministering of Your word. It's time for the Reviver to be revealed again. And so, Father, we ask for that today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Reviver is in the house.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Where is the house?
Amen.
What's the subject of our message? It's a heart condition, isn't it? No matter what it is, no matter what you're going through in life, it doesn't matter what it is, it's always a heart condition. The heart is the center of life for us, and in that heart flow the issues of life. It says in Proverbs 4:20-23, I'm just going to use Proverbs 4:23. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life.
Amen.
If there's a verse in Scripture that we need to memorize and need to have constantly before us, that's one.
Yes.
That is a foundation Scripture for all of life.
Yes.
No matter what you're going through, we may not like to hear it, but no matter what you're going through, it's a heart condition.
Amen.
And it can be changed. You can change the condition of your heart.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to re-minister the word that I did a couple weeks ago on part one. This is part two, and there will probably be a part three. I'm almost sure there will be. But there are some key verses that I want to bring back in order to tie the two together, and that's one of them. The point of this whole series is it's a heart condition, and we can change the condition of our heart. That's the whole thing. Everything, the NIV says, everything flows from the heart. So, by the way, there's a Bible in front of you if you don't have one. Praise the Lord. We got a few Bibles now. Another scripture we read last time was Matthew 12:33-37. I'm not going to spend much time on these because I already talked about them, but there's some key verses. One, in verse 33, there's a key phrase there, that you are known and recognized and judged by fruit, by the fruit of the tree. It's known and justified by that fruit. In verse 34, Jesus says it this way. He says, "For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Notice the heart's there again. So what you're saying, the flow of your life is coming from the depths of your heart, good or bad. Verse 35 says, "The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things." So again, we see it comes from the heart. Both evil and good comes from the heart. It's a heart condition. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth, like that sower, he's sowing seeds wherever he goes. In verse 36, "But I tell you, on the day of judgment, when men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak." Now that is that's a hard scripture for some of us to swallow, because as I look back at my past, I said a lot of things I didn't want to say now. But you know you can pull the weeds up out of your life.
Amen.
You can. You can use the word. The word of God will go back and neutralize those things. Yeah. Now there may be some consequences yet. But you can take care of your past. You can let your past be your past at last.
Yeah.
And in order to let your past be your past at last, you have to change the condition of your heart.
Yeah.
Because the reason the past haunts you so much is because it's a heart condition.
Mm-hmm.
You have allowed bitterness, anger, fear, worry, and depression, all these things to settle down in your inner being, and you haven't done anything about it. We can change that.
Yeah.
We can change the condition of our heart. But there's only one way to do it, and there's only one person can do it. We can't do it on our own.
No.
We can't. But as I said when we started, the reviver's in the house.
Amen.
The reviver is in the house. The one who has the answers, the one that can bring life to me, lives in me.
Thank you, Lord.
If I'm born again, he resides here.
Yes.
All revival comes to the individual first, and it always comes from a heart condition or a heart change.
Amen.
If you're going to be revived, that's where you're going to have to go.
Yes.
For out of it, the heart, flow the issues of life. So we can change our condition. So here we see the importance of words. The next verse says, I called it last time the humdinger verse. "For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced." Now that's an absolute. There's a lot of absolutes in the Bible. You can try to change it if you want to change it. It doesn't even matter if you believe that or not, because it's still working. There's absolutes. This is an absolute that God put in the Word. You are becoming, or you are going to be justified, and you are going to be acquitted by your words.
Yeah.
If your words line up with God's Word, you can change your life and those around you. You can change the circumstances in your life. But if your words are not lining up with His words, guess what's going on in your life? You are your own worst enemy. You're defeating yourself, and you're blaming the devil and everybody else, and including God, on your problems. And God has given you a tool to use, His own word. He's saying, here's the manual, the covenant. You take my words, put them in your mouth and heart, and you can change where you're going and what you're doing in your life. You can't, the word does.
Yes, amen.
By the Holy Spirit that lives inside you, He grabs a hold of that word, and He uses that word to change the circumstances in and around you. When you can change the condition of your heart, if you change what's in and coming out of your heart, what happens to your marriage? What happens to your family? What happens to your home and your children? What happens to you?
Amen.
I mean, where's the joy coming from? Not what you've been saying is not bringing much joy, is it? But when you change what's coming into your heart and you change the condition of your heart with the Word and with God's love, and you let that Word live in you, then there's life comes forth.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
As you choose to set your love upon the Father, then that word's activated.
Amen.
And now life comes forth.
Hallelujah.
It's a process. Everything's a process.
Amen.
No matter what it is. We see a lot of suddenlies, don't we? We like suddenlies. We were blessed a couple weeks ago with a suddenly. Refrigerator went out, and we asked the boys to come over and say, hey, can you fix this? And instead, they brought a new one. Praise the Lord. That's a suddenly, okay? That's a suddenly. That don't happen all the time. I mean, it's a big double thing. You open it, praise the Lord. But we thought we'd done good, and we bought a used $300 one that did that. You know, didn't last long. So sometimes we try to answer our own problems, and all we got to do is ask, don't we? We didn't ask for that. That's a suddenly. But you, do you know that was even a process?
Amen.
It was a thought process. There was a process going on. We had a need. God saw the need. He met it through our children.
Amen.
That don't always happen.
Yes,
I just threw that in there because they needed to be blessed. But there's suddenlies in our lives, good and bad. But those suddenlies don't just happen. They don't just occur. There was something functioning somewhere. If I've been talking all my life, I'm not going to live till I collect my Social Security. I'm just not going to make it. I'm just not going to live that long. You prepare to die. There's people that have actually died that way. One guy said he would collect only his first Social Security check and he'll die. He did. That's exactly what happened to him. We build our own issues in life and we don't know it. And we think, oh, that stuff's not real. Yeah, it is. Did Jesus lie here? No, he can't lie, can he? By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What is he telling us? He's telling us that our words have authority. His words have authority, certainly. But our words have authority. What we say have authority. It changes things. You say something hateful to somebody, but didn't things change?
Oh, yeah.
You know, things change. You know, we talk to everything, whether we realize it or not. You dirty old truck. Mark sold me that. It's junk. You kidding? You talked to it, didn't you? How many people talk to their items? That stupid coffee pot, it went out 3 times this week. You know, we do. But when Jesus said to speak to the mountain, oh, I can't do that. That's stupid. They'll call me dumb. No, he said speak to the mountain. What do I say? I speak his word to my mountain. Whether it's fear, worry, depression, anger, the reason that we have those things functioning so much in our life is because we're taught them and not the answer to them. I mean, I know that hurts some of our feelings, but we have to get a hold, if we want to change, we got to do something to change.
That's right.
And I can't do it on my own. But his word is already alive.
Yes, yes.
His word's already full. Okay, so I don't have to put life into his words. I don't have to try to make his word come to pass. I just got to line up with it and activate it.
Amen.
Once activated, life's there.
Yes, amen.
Now I got to maintain my part of that, or maintain my faith in that, to keep it activated.
Yeah.
Many of us will activate the word in our prayer time, walk right out the door and say something stupid like, I just don't know, Aunt Martha's going to die. You know, and you just aborted your own prayer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And you don't know it. I've done that, haven't you? And we don't realize it because we're just saying, well, that's what the doctor said. Well, what's that got to do with it? If I want that law to work, and that's all I'm expecting, then I can talk that, because that law will work if I talk it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But if I want it changed, I got to line up with another law.
That's right.
God's law is a higher law.
Yes.
It's a stronger law.
Yes.
And it will work every time, because he put his life in it.
Amen.
But if I don't speak his word, then it's not activated.
That's right.
Do you know that's what real prayer is?
Amen.
Real prayer is not, God, please help me. God, please change this, please change that. Real prayer is when you take a hold of the word of God and you present it back to him.
Right.
He said it. Now, can you get any stronger than that?
Nope.
I don't think you can get any stronger than that.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times we'll spend, and I'm a prayer man, I like to pray. But if I'm going to pray all night long, I'm going to know what I'm praying. And I want it to line up with God's word. And if it's going to line up with God's word, then I know before I start that I have the answer, because that's 1 John 5:14 and 15.
Yes.
He said, if I pray his word, that he heard me.
Amen.
And if he heard me, then I have the petitions that I've presented to him.
Yes. Thank you,
Lord. But I still have a part to play in that. Now I'm in worship and praise and thanksgiving because he said it.
Amen.
I'm maintaining the activated seed.
Yes.
But our words have authority. And I need to know that. Our words have authority in the negative, and they have authority in the positive.
Yes.
Now, either is that true or Jesus lied?
No.
The next verse we're going to is John 15:7. Now, in our foundation scripture was keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the issues of life. Jesus here said in John 15:7, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. There are several key things in that verse. One of them is if. And you know me on the word if. If you've heard me at all, you know the word if is a place I stop. It's like a flag. It's got signs on it, flags flashing. The word if. Now, it's conditional. The word let is conditional. This will work if. Now, who put the if there? Jesus put it there. The Word put it there. Proverbs 4:23 put it there. Scriptures line up from cover to cover on that. If you, now you is also who? Me. So if you, so now it's making it personal, right? So you can say, if Michael, if you live in me, that's the first condition. How do I live in him? Well, first of all, I got to change the condition of my heart. It's a heart condition. I set my love upon him and I let my love for him govern what I do and say and think.
Amen.
I line myself up with with loving him, and then that flows out of what I do in my daily life. So I'm living in him. When I live in his word and I correct myself with his word and I set my love upon him, then I'm living in him. King James says to abide. If you live in me, and then the Amplified puts in brackets, abide vitally united to me. Now, what's this John 15 talking about? He starts off with the vine and the branches. And one of the things he says there is that cut off from me, you can do nothing. No sap, no life. Are you alive? You're alive, but you're not connected to him. You're on your own. I don't want to be on my own. I want to be connected to him. And the only one way to connect to him, you got to connect to his love, to him on purpose because you want to, your choice. And then you got to remain. You got to maintain that connection. And you can only do that as you walk your love walk.
Yes.
We take the love walk as conditional. It is if you want to be alive. But if you want to walk in him and walk his word and see signs, wonders, and miracles and see your prayers mean something, then you're going to have to remain vitally united to him because that's where the sap is.
Amen.
There's no life any other way. See, that's what happened to men. That man, in Adam, he got separated. That life was already there, but he separated. So what happened when he separated? He started to die.
That's
why Romans 8 says to be spiritually minded is life, to be carnally minded is death. And in Deuteronomy 30, he said, today I place before you life and death, choose life. So I can't get around it. You keep hearing me every time I minister here, I have a choice.
That's right.
And that's something that is not taught a lot. We like to whitewash things, and we can't do that.
Amen.
If I know that I have a choice in it, then that means I can make a choice.
Yes.
Now I got to find out what the choices are. And there's only one place to go to find out what my choices are. Don't let the world tell you what your choices are.
That's right.
If it doesn't line up with this, then it's not a choice that I'm going to make. I can make it, but what's the results? Death. There's a process there. If I want life to be the process, then I got to go where the life is. If I'm going to make life choices, there's only one place to make that life choice.
Amen.
And it all lines up with love. Love is the key.
Yes.
The heart condition, it is the key. Where was I at? Okay. If you live in me, so that's one condition, abide vitally united to me, and then there's an and that follows that. And is a what? It's a connection word, right? It joins things. The subject is not done. And my words remain in you. Now that person that prayed, he may have prayed the word that I talked about earlier. He may have done that. And been 100% accurate, only prayed and meant business. But when he stepped out the door and he said, Aunt Martha or whatever is not going to live, what did he do? He disconnected. The Word did not live in him. He aborted it. He should have said, I know what the doctor says, but I know what the Word says.
Yes.
And I'm lining up with the Word. I'm praying the Word. I'm believing God's Word is true here. And I ask you to join me. If you can't, just don't talk to me about this at all, but I'm going to say what the Word says.
Yes.
And I'm locked into that. I believe that. I don't believe what the doctor says. I can believe that, and he's not lying to me. That's what it says. But that can change.
Yes.
Because we're activating a higher law. And that's what I maintain. That word remains in me because I protect it.
Yes.
I guard it. That's what Proverbs is talking about when it says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. You're keeping and guarding what's there. Whether you realize it or not, you are keeping and guarding what's there. It may be negative. Every time you talk about depression, fear, worry, anger, and all that other stuff, you are guarding that condition in your heart. You're reinforcing it. You're causing it to grow. And now you're training your mind with that. So you think that way. It's a process. It's a chain reaction. It's constantly over and over again. But you can abort that. Don't abort the Word. Abort that. Charles Capp said one time, he taught a sermon on, you need to learn how to doubt your doubts. I like that. First he said, now wait a minute. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't let doubt rule your heart. Doubt the doubt's ability to rule. And you do that with the Word. So you doubt your doubts. And so you have a right to do that. When doubt comes up, put something in its place. I doubt that. The Word says.
Amen.
The Word says. See, that's your anchor. The Word says, therefore I doubt that doubt. That's not mine.
That's right.
You know, a lot of our thoughts and our actions come from outside.
Yeah.
And we just grab a hold of them. Or what somebody else said.
Right.
We need to be so word-minded that if I don't know what it says, I'm going to find out. You know, I dig in there and that's it. That's right there. That's what it says. Part of the problem with the church today, we don't believe the Bible's God's Word. We say we do. If you go down the street and you ask people, what's the Bible? Well, that's God's Word. Is it? You know, was it to you? Then why aren't you doing it? You know, you got to ask these questions, you know. If that's God's Word, then why do I believe this other over here? Why don't I go there first? If that's God's Word, why don't I find out why my marriage is hurting here? What's my part in this? Am I self-centered? Is that why this thing's coming apart? If you're other-centered, then it joins. Love joins. It's always other-centered. Self-centeredness separates.
That's right.
If you find that you're looking at yourself and what you're losing and what you're falling short on and how they're not doing this for you, not doing that for you, you're self-centered, whether you like it or not. You're thinking of self. Love thinks of others, and it takes no account of a suffered wrong because it's other-centered. It's a heart condition. I can change that, but I can only change it with the Word and with decisions on a daily basis, one by one. It's a process. God and His Word are one. I need to know that. If I'm looking at what God's going to do, it's going to line right up with His Word. He's not going to change. He's exactly what His Word says is what He's going to do. So I need to be God's Word-minded. Okay, notice that is the Word has to remain. I have to live in Him, and His Word's got to remain in me and continue in my heart, in my heart. It's a heart condition. Then ask whatever you will. See the process here? I got to live in Him. His Word's got to live in me and remain there. Then I ask whatever I will. You see, we ask what we will, and we don't do the others, and wonder why prayer don't work. Prayer works. I aborted it, okay, or I wasn't lined up to begin with. And we run around blaming God. God, why did you let this happen to me? He didn't. You did. I know that's a hard word when maybe we've lived a lifetime full of hurts and things, but at what time are we going to change those things? When are we going to start doing something to correct it?
Amen.
If it's not worked up to this point, then it's not going to work.
That's right.
So something's wrong. If it's not working, if my prayers are not working, it's not God. Because if I prayed His Word, I agreed with his word. He did his part. And the secret is, he's already done his part before I prayed. That's what that cross was about. He settled the whole thing, and he has a completed work there. And then that's what my light's for. He gave me the tools. He said, here, I give you my complete and absolute and total covenant of life.
Amen.
Everything you need for all of eternity, I give it to you. It's yours. Now, what are you going to do with it? You're going to have to open it up, aren't you? This light has every power that it needs right within it. It's all there. The power's there. The batteries are there. They even make rechargeable batteries, praise the Lord. We got to be recharged occasionally. The light's there, but it's useless if I just take it. I got to do this. Not works. Why? I had a part to play, and everything is that way. If you want an answer to fear, worry, depression, anger, marriage, whatever it is, turn the light on.
Yeah.
That's your part. Then God will carry it forth.
Amen.
And when your batteries start getting dim, charge them.
Yeah.
It don't take long to charge it. Just get back in the Word.
Amen.
I know that's a simple thing, but God showed me that, and he said, it's very simple. I've done everything that's required. The problem with the church is they don't turn it on.
Yeah.
It's not my fault. Blood was shed. I'm not going back up there again.
Amen.
It's eternal. It's done. It's a settled work. Pastor keeps talking about that. The finished work of Christ. That's what he's talking about. It's finished. Now, I've got to pick up what he finished and activate it.
Amen.
Until I do that, I can, what I call prayer, all day long, and it's not going to work. Because I'm not activated it. Faith is the activator. Love is the fuel. And faith comes by how?
Hearing.
And by the word, okay? So where you got to go, you got to go to the word. Actually, it's so simple. God has made this whole thing so simple. I love what Brother Samuel said earlier. It's 100% right on. He is asking us to come up. We have to, but he's not going to make us. He's inviting us.
Amen.
Come on, get serious about this. Get in the Word. Do something with it. Be serious. My Word works. Darkness is coming. Turn the light on.
Amen.
Because we are the light in that darkness.
Yes.
We are that light in the darkness. It's a love relationship. That's why this works. That's why he said, then you can ask what you will. Because it's a relationship. It's a covenant relationship. When you do covenant, both parties have certain things they do, and they can make demands on that covenant. Each one can. And God, that's what the word is. It's covenant word. It's covenant, okay? He said what he would do, and he gave it there. And he said, okay, now make a demand on it. He wants us to do that. When I take a hold of his word, I've made a demand on the covenant.
Amen.
Not arrogantly. He asked me to do that. And it's a great joy to his heart for me to do it.
Yes.
But it hurts his heart when I don't.
That's right.
Well, don't God see me hurting? Yes, he does. But he can't move outside that covenant. Okay, if I don't go to the covenant and ask and receive, he can't do a lot where I'm concerned, where that problem's concerned. You see how the church has gotten so weak? How our prayers are not, we pray, but we don't make a demand on the covenant because you don't know what the word says.
Uh-huh.
And so we're trying, we're doing what we can, but his hands are tied in a lot of ways. And we need to untie them. We need to release the angels to do their work.
Yeah.
The reviver is living in us.
Yeah,
okay, he's here. It's a love relationship, it's a covenant relationship, and the word works. There's never a time when the word will not work. It has everything in it that it needs to do whatever it's been sent to do.
Amen.
It's void of nothing but my faith and my activation. Psalm 103 says, bless affectionately, verse 20, bless affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones, who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. I love that. They hearken, they hear the voiced word. Spoken word. It cannot be voiced if you don't speak it. So when you take God's word and you say, Father, your word says, that angel grabs that. Now he's authorized to move. He can work with that. But he can't work with old Martha's dying. He can't work with that. Who does? The enemy grabs that word, don't he? I mean, that angel says, why is he saying that? He just got done in the prayer room. Why did he say that? I was going to do something. I can't do nothing now. That's what that angel said. It's very frustrating to them. You know, we beat him up all the time. And all the time, God, please help. Well, he is, and he's trying. You know how frustrating that can be? Thank God for his mercy and his grace and his understanding. And he's always ready. He wants to help.
Amen.
But we don't open the door and authorize him. So that's the problem that we have. So remember, those angels are listening to what you say. My words and your words have authority. When it's his, it has authority either way, good or bad. But when I take his word and speak it, that goes to the word, opens it up, and it bursts forth. And now that's the authority in the earth because I spoke it. And now, as long as I maintain it, long as I keep it, I don't keep going back asking for it over. Now I'm in thanksgiving mode because I believe I receive when I pray.
Amen.
It's already mine. So I'm busy taking this word. I'm busy applying it. I'm thanking my Father. And then he's working and those angels are out there pedaling around all over trying to get this thing to come to pass. And they won't stop till it is. I need to know the devil and all of his angels put together is absolutely 100% helpless in changing that word. He cannot stop it. He can't stop it. It's not possible. Well, the word says he comes to steal it. He's not after stealing the word. That's not really a good translation there. He's after moving you off of it.
That's right.
And he can't do that once it's rooted. If you go through those on the seed, sow, the sower sows the seed, there's different levels there. Once that seed's in the ground and is rooted, he has a hard time getting it out. But he's got to get you to abort it. He can't. So if I stay, that's what it says in Ephesians when he talks about stand therefore. That's what you do. You stand therefore. The word says. That's your anchor. That's your provision. That's your link to the Father, to the Father's heart. And it brings him great joy.
Amen.
You want to put a joy on a smile on the face of the Father? You put a dance in his step when you stand on his word because he said it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. He said it. Amen. He said it. Okay. In Psalm 119, verse 130, I love this one. The entrance and the unfolding of your words give light. I unfolded the word. It entered. I unfolded it when I turned on my light. The entrance and the unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment and comprehension to the simple. Well, I don't understand it. Because you're not putting it in.
That's right.
If you put the word in, understanding will come.
Yes.
That's what it says. Right there, it says that. You can't get revelation from anywhere else. Oh, God, please give me revelation. I ain't got time to read your Bible, but give me revelation. It's not going to come any other way. You're going to have to put yourself in it and listen. Okay, and he will talk to you through his word. The entrance and the unfolding. Entrance, unfolding. Activating. When I look at unfolding, I take the word in, my faith activates. Now it's unfolded. I can hear the word all day long and never unfold it or activate it. Okay, so it's where I apply, specifically apply my faith. Then that word's activated.
Yes, amen.
Then don't fold it back up.
Yeah.
Okay. Keep it unfolded. Hebrews 4:12, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. That's why it brings life. That's why when you take a hold of God's word and you speak it, life comes forth. That's what happens when you're walking around depression and fear and worry and anger and all this other stuff. And they're real. They really are. Mankind can do some things with it. But I'm sorry, you cannot take a pill to change your mind.
That's right.
You're involved in mind change.
Yes.
You're involved in heart change. So when I take a hold of the Word of God, it brings light to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it brings understanding. But I got to put it in. My spirit has to feed on the word. It has to feed, and I've got to activate it, believing it, trusting it. All faith really is trust. If you get down to its simplest terms, Father, I trust you. I trust your word. It's true. Now, I know that's a truth over there, but I trust your word because you said it, and I'm going to line up with it. I may not understand it. I don't have to understand how it works. You know, you don't even have to know what's wrong with you to get healed.
That's right.
It doesn't list all of those things there. It just says, by his stripes, he were healed.
Yes, amen.
Okay, where was the stripes? The cross. The blood was shed. It's a done deal.
That's right.
I have to line up with that. But we try to find out, well, I wonder what it is. I do that. I say, Mom, what do you think this is? Well, it doesn't matter what it is, really. Because the healing's all-inclusive.
Yes.
It's healing's healing. But you can abort it by not walking your love walk.
That's right.
For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul. That's mind, emotions, and will. And the immortal spirit, that's the real me. And of the joints and of the marrow, that's the body, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart.
Amen.
Now that's pretty far down there. If it can separate the soul and the spirit and the word sharp.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how to separate them, but the word does. I don't need to know what's wrong with me because with depression and fear and worry. I don't need to know that. I need to take the word in and he'll take care of that.
Yes.
That's what I got to do. But I spend so much time in the fear and worry and talking about that I don't ever put the word to work.
Uh-huh.
See, so that's what we got to have a mindset change. Folks, if we're going to be helping a hurting world, a world that's full of turmoil and terror and all of this other stuff, if we're going to be that light, that means we're taking hope to them. That means we ourselves have got to know these things. We got to step into the place where we take our place.
Yes. Yeah.
And in order to be that light, then we got to know these things.
Yeah, that's right.
The best person to help somebody that's hurting is somebody that's hurt like them.
Yeah.
You know, it is. That's the best person in the world. And the word even says that he will use the hurts that you went through to help those that are going through the same thing.
Yes, amen.
We need to know these things. We need to link up with one another and help one another when we're hurting. But let the Holy Spirit lead you to someone that you can share the word with together and search scripture together and pray together, that you can take life together. It don't have to be a whole church, one or two. May or may not be family. But someone you can share your heart and it stays right there. And that they know when the Bible says where two or more agree is touching anything and shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven.
Yes.
That word there is agree. What are you agreeing on? Well, we're agreeing on a word. What word? Be specific. If you're asking somebody to pray with you and to do this with you, search the scriptures together. If you don't know, find it. And then set it before you and say, this is what we're agreeing on. Can you agree with me on this? And then help one another stay there. Because you're going to get weak sometime or another. You're going to need encouragement. You're going to need that one to put their arm around you or something and say, hey, remember what the word said.
Amen.
And then say, wait a minute, you're right. I've been slipping here. And then get back on it together. That's the importance of having someone with it. Hopefully it's your wife or husband. But if it's not or you're not connected there, find someone that you can share your life with. And specifically ask the Holy Spirit to bring them to you, because he will.
Yes.
He already knows the hearts you can link with. Okay, so this is important to us. But the word is alive, and if you take something that's alive, what happens to the dead? Life comes forth.
Amen.
Light destroys darkness. The entrance of thy word bringeth light, brings understanding to the simple. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. Has is what tense? Past tense, isn't it? So it's a done deal. Where was it done at? The cross.
Amen.
That's a long time ago. That's before I existed. But he settled it, see, before I even came into this life. So if he settled it before I came into this life, then it's already present.
Yes.
So has means he has bestowed. When I gave Betty that light a while ago, I bestowed the light to her. She had enough sense to turn it on. I didn't have to tell her to turn it on. She turned it on. That's what you do with a light.
Yes.
And if we see the word of God as light, which it is, turn it on. He has already bestowed, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things, that's everything, that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. Is going through fear, worry, terror, and anger, and all that other stuff, has that got to do with life? If you're walking through it, most certainly it does. It has to do with my life if I'm struggling with fear, worry, and terror, and all this other stuff, hurt and anger and unforgiveness. If I'm struggling with those things in my life, maybe it's secretly struggling, but it has to do with life. So if it has to do with life, he's already given that answer. That's what that verse says. All things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you know that your marriage is already healed? As far as God is concerned, he's already put it out there. If you'll partake of it, healing will come. You know, that's what we don't do, though. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through. Okay, this is how he did it. Through the full personal knowledge of him who has called us by and to his own glory and excellence, his virtue. By means of these, those promises, by means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, rottenness, corruption that is in this world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature?
Love.
That's who he is. So he's made a way for us to partake of that. A partaker, you got a cake, you cut slices up, and you take one. You're a partaker. God is not a cake, but it's a symbol. It's symbolic to us. We partake of it. We take part in that love that he has and who he is. The First John 4 says that as he is, so are we in this world. We're just like him in this world. That's who we're supposed to be. And that's what he's trying to get us to. And we can't do it if we're walking around in fear, worry, anger, temper, and all this other stuff. We can't be the light. We're hurting. But if we'll start the process will work.
Yes. Yes.
But if we don't do anything, we're going to get worse instead of better.
That's right.
So I got to do something with what he's given me.
Amen.
I mentioned this scripture last time, but I'm just briefly... But I'm going to mention it again here today and read it. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
Amen.
I love that scripture. See, the word's going to bring forth a life. But there's some words, like I mentioned last time, there that bothered me. First of all, it says the word void's there, and then return. How can the word possibly be void of anything? Because it's his word, and he just got done saying it will accomplish what it's been sent to do. So what's it void of?
Faith.
It's my faith. That's the only thing it can possibly be void of. My activating it. You know, he sent the seed. He sent my deliverance. He sent my forgiveness. He sent everything I need to live life, everything suited to and requisite to life and godliness. He's already given that. So it's here. He doesn't have to go to the warehouse and get it. It's already here. The cross purchased it. Okay, so the only thing it can be void of then is me. My faith, my trust, my activating it. And that's my point. Many of us for years have struggled with things that all we have to do is activate the word.
Amen.
God's made it so simple for us, but we don't know it. And I keep saying choice, 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 but you can't choose something you don't know. If you don't know what's available to you and out there, how can you choose it? So now we know, okay? So now we can go forth and choose. We can dig. Well, I can't dig through that. That thing is 3 inches thick. I can't do that. Well, that's what they make concordances for. That's what they make audio tapes for, of sermons. That's what they make brothers and sisters for. That's what they make concordances for. That's all kinds of real cool search deals you can use. I can show you some if you want them. You put the word in there and it'll pop up every scripture related to that. So there's ways to do that. But you got to want to.
Amen.
You know, and then you got to do what it says. One more verse and then I'll let you go. We'll start there next time. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 16, I want to do the whole thing, 13 through 16, but I don't have time. Let, there's that word again. I'm going to keep doing that because it helps me for one thing. Let, that's the very first word there. Again, let is conditional. It means a choice has got to be made. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and minds and dwell in you in all of its richness. Doesn't that sound like John 15:7? If my words live in you, you live in me and my words live in you, then? That's what Paul is saying here too, the very same thing. He's saying, let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home. That means it's permanent, right? It's not there just when I need it. It's permanent. It abides there. In your hearts and minds. Paul separates the two, which they should be. Okay, and dwell in your hearts in all its richness as you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom. So this is a shared word. If it abides in me and abides in you and is living, then we're sharing that word. We're both growing. Train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom and spiritual things. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody to God with his grace in your hearts. When you allow the word to abide in you, live in you, it brings grace. And it also brings joy. Joy and happiness are two different things. You know, happiness, you've got to make yourself be happy. Joy is a spiritual force that lives in you if you're born again.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit. It's a fruit that has to be developed. The word brings joy because of its presence and the life that it brings. Amen? Amen. I have to stop there. I don't want to. But there is a part 3, by the way, if we ever get to it. Praise the Lord.